Mud Podcast presents.
I felt so wet all through the night. Data streams of neon light. Tech mud pulls us into sight. Paranoia takes its flight. Government eyes, they see it all. Every click, each rise and fall. Selling us for data's call in this digital sprawl. From my big foot, but oh so clear. Where we roam, yet show no fear. Corporate hands, they steer the gear. In this tech mud, when we disappear. Space in the cloud, we lose our grace. Tech mud leaves a vivid place. Questions answered, voices loud in the heart of K-Mud's crowd. Public waves where truth survives. Corporate thieves can't take our lives. Cookies crumble, shadows cast. Every move, a deal that's fast. Selling secrets, trades unmasked. In this tech mud, it won't last.
Right, this is Tech Mud right here on K-Mud. I'm Garth, and I'm joined by Rick. Hey, Rick, can you hear me?
Hey, Garth, how's it going, buddy?
Oh, it's going good. You know, so many things happen in a month that we have in between shows. it really does place, you know how they say time passes quickly, but a lot of stuff happens. I'm like, wow, I'm just dazzled by it. But this is Tech Mud, where we talk about technology, the good, the bad, maybe the chaotic neutral, the paranoid. And as always, we will be taking your calls at half past the hour in terms of questions or if you want to join the conversation. I had some local tech news I wanted to add at the beginning of the show, but I also wanted to focus on an article that the Mozilla Foundation came out with later on in the show about basically about your car spying on you and how much money that industry is going to be worth by 2030.
I was looking up stuff. In fact, I might just email you my homework, but is that the privacy not included thing from Mozilla?
Exactly. Well, I think it came out last year actually, but we'll delve into that. I guess it's a sales pitch. And actually, I have a friend who's like, you know what? My next car is going to be an old classic that I can work on myself and doesn't have any technology. And I'll just try not to run into too many things because, you know, it might not have such, you know, good crumple zones, but, you know,
it's except the state is working on stuff that's going to prevent it. Let's hit the news and then we'll dig into this topic because this is actually a very hot topic.
Yeah, so locally, go figure, this last week, we've had a huge uptick in Facebook scams. I don't want to really say hacking. It's basically manipulation and people taking over Facebook accounts. There was about, I think, 10 people locally that all at once, you know, it was probably a friend group, basically. So one person got their account taken over and compromised. And when that happens, the people that take it over, we'll generously call them, you know, a hacker or something. They message a bunch of their, you know, the friends of this person, you know, like, oh, hey, could you help me get into my account? I'm going to send you a code so you can help me get back into my account, or send me money. I need help, or any number of things. But the way it spreads around is that they trigger password resets on a bunch of friends of the person that originally got hacked account, right? And then they'll be emailed, usually. Sometimes it'll be a text message, but more often it's an email with a code will appear in your inbox saying, hey, did you request a password reset from Facebook? Here's the code. And it'll probably even say, don't give it to anybody. That's the lesson learned there. Don't give your friends, don't give anybody that code. And also, if your friend is suddenly asking for money or needs help, I think the older generation should appreciate this more, actually. Call them, use the phone, talk to them, maybe even go over and see them. Don't just message or text, and especially don't give them password reset codes or any random codes that show up. When in doubt, don't do anything. I guess that's my advice.
Yeah, that's great advice. You know, my partner, this happened, I think, last month or 2 months ago, and it was classic. We were looking at cars, and she gets this email about a car. And then it's this weirdest thing where, because it's a name she knows from someone that went to the same high school,
and, it seems more trustworthy, right?
Yeah. And she's like, oh, my sister knows him, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, so I'm like, no, honey, he wants money in advance. Don't do it. You know, it's a scam. Oh, no, he went, you know, I said, well, call your sister, have him talk to him. So then her sister gets involved, and the guy, you know, starts stalling and all this, because this has got to the point they're making phone calls. And bottom line was, the original owner of the account had been hacked, hadn't been into his account for over a year, you know, and this was one of those hack things. But the thing that triggered me on was the level of trust, because she knew the name, thereby, oh, and he's friends with my sister on Facebook, it is a trusted person.
It's very common, and there is a very specific scam. They actually use the same photos of the same cars, but when they compromise a Facebook account, they won't post to the accounts page, but they'll post to like some friends pages, kind of randomly going, "Hey, I just wanted to share. I'm selling this really nice Honda Accord," and it looks, you know, it actually doesn't look quite too scammy. You look at it, you're like, huh, okay, it's kind of got a little high mileage, but wow, that's a really good price. It's just in the neighborhood of like, it could be true, you know, it's not too good to be true.
Exactly.
But the tip off, well, once you know that the photos were used everywhere, then that's a tip off. But the tip off is, if anybody ever asks you, oh, you know what, if I just got to ask you for a small deposit, like $700, to hold this car for you.
Yeah.
It's going to sell fast.
That was the modality, man. It's like, oh, you got to send me some money, you know, that way I know you're really interested. And I'm like, I'm screaming at her going, don't do it. You know, she's like, but I think I can put it on my credit card. And I'm like, no.
And more often than not, they want you to do a bank transfer or, Zelle or something that is not easily refundable, basically.
Right.
And it's often, I mean, I got a call from one of my friends who they saw some Facebook ad, and it was somebody that was known in the community they lived in, and they were kind of like a well-to-do person, and they're like, oh, well, maybe they are just selling that old car, you know, it could be, you know, but...
But now we're talking about a whole new era, you know, of the scams. In fact, one of the things that recently happened, since this is one of the news articles I wanted to pop up, is that there's this new form of Facebook ads that are basically saying, here's a new desktop look for your Windows desktop theme, you know? And what it really is, it's pushing malware. It's password stealing malware that it pushes on your machine. So it's using their ad system.
And Facebook is allowing them to advertise, of course.
You know, it's getting by. It's infecting users. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, you know, this article came out in July. And, you know, Facebook, you know, they've gotten so big, there's no one you can really call. You know what I mean? All you can do is be smart on your own, block the user, you know, don't click on the ad.
And that was the thing. Like, yesterday, we helped, I think, 3 or 4 people try to get their accounts back from these people that had compromised them and were using it to spam all their friends. And sometimes it's easy. Sometimes Facebook sends you a link and says, hey, were you the one that changed or added a new phone number to your account? And you say, no, I wasn't. And then they maybe have you upload a picture of your ID. But more often than not, like I'd say more than half the time, you get into this kind of endless loop where you may or may not get your account back. And good luck ever talking to anybody for real at Meta.
No, it is kind of a drag, you know. And I suppose that could be a good use of artificial intelligence since, you know, it could, you know, handle those requests and figure it out.
Yeah. That's true, actually. The customer service department might benefit for some artificial intelligence over there at Meta.
Yeah. So, here's a cool news thing. This is like the only cool news thing that I got. The rest are, you know, start that terror to lead into our main topic. But Dune-inspired spacesuit recycles urine into clean drinking water. And they've got a working prototype.
So it's basically perfect for your local festival.
Perfect. Yeah. If you're going to go out on Times Square and enjoy one of those events, you need one of these instead of just the underwear, you know, because this is, you know, now the thing works. I mean, they got it working and they are going to, you know, it looks like it may end up, you know, with, you know, astronauts eventually. So basically it, you know, you just let it go in your suit and then the suit goes through these series of filters and it's powered by a battery and it's not very big. The whole thing is like 38 by 23 by 23 centimeters. So, you know, that's relatively small for what it's doing. And then of course it uses the filtration is also part of the suit, the way it works. It's multiple layers. And so anyway,
gotcha. There you go.
That was my cool tech story.
Okay, that sounds cool. Hey.
Okay, great. So Cloudflare reports that 7% of internet traffic is malicious. And I need to say no more. I mean, it's really 6.8%. But the internet has gotten to the point where a lot of what's going on is not that great.
And I guess, that makes sense. I could see that. I mean, well, remember when we had to worry about... Yeah, and it was spam. You know, spam used to be the thing. Oh yeah, all this content and traffic taken up by spam mail. I mean, that still exists, but
and it's still happening. Let's face it; I get so much spam. You know, I knew it. Now, this is the thing for this year: the biggest data breaches in 2024. We're already up to 1 billion stolen records, and we're not through the year. It is a record year.
That was a quick news note on speaking of stolen records was the AT&T debacle.
Yeah.
Apparently they had almost.
Actually, it's more. It's the AT&T debacle. It's Change Healthcare hack. It's Synovus ransomware attack and Snowflake data, which is the Ticketmaster attack. So all of those combined. Is huge
are the total and AT&T was basically lost pretty much all their customer data. They stored it on some outside server. It got hacked and compromised. It wasn't the content of the text messages. Once again, it was the data of you know, who you called, when you called, and when you texted. And apparently they did pay a ransom. They negotiated the ransom down from, you know, close to $1 million down to a more manageable, you know, $275,000.
Yeah, around $300,000. Yeah, they get them to delete what they collect, you know, which I mean, this is crazy when we have so much stuff going on like that. You know, the more and more we put data on the internet, the more it's crazy. Well, here's the thing, you know, I mean, it used to be we had those concerns. Here's the, you know, as I move into this privacy issue we're going to get into, hidden cameras are really causing a problem with short-term rental industry because they're all having hidden cameras. And, you know, that is a major privacy invasion. You know what I mean?
I've heard Airbnb being accused of not doing enough
right.
And they, I think some court records came, like some, in some lawsuits, some records came to light during discovery from Airbnb, and they had 30,000 incidents.
Yeah,
and
like 35,000 reported tickets.
Yeah, and it could be that, you know, there might be multiple tickets per incident at one location, but still, that's a lot. And this all had to do with hidden cameras in Airbnb hosts' homes. So,
right,
kind of funky.
I could, you know, it's a catch 22 because from one point of view, I could see where if I'm doing a Airbnb, I wouldn't put a camera in the bathroom, but I would want to know if you're throwing wild parties. You know, I would want to aggregate something that shows, okay, you guys are just living comfortable. You're going to your kid's graduation. Bless you. You know, and yeah, not some crazy thing where all of a sudden the house is so packed that, you know,
yeah,
it's flowing out into the street.
I think the standard is you're allowed to put, and I've been to an Airbnb where this is, they have an outdoor camera or a camera in the outdoor hallway as you enter so they can monitor who is coming and going, basically.
Yeah, there was some big stink brouhaha. I read an article some months back where in New York, they were using it to, like, you know, raise your rents and do other things because they have all, you're only allowed to have so many people in the apartment kind of thing. They were pushing it, you know, where you could have this camera. It's like, it's not in the apartment, but it sees who's coming and going from the apartment. And then the landlords crack down on you.
You had too many guests over in your high, very expensive New York apartment, so they raised
their
rent.
Yeah, there's like weird restrictions. And then, it, you know, New York, actually, I'm getting sidetracked because that's a whole different thing.
Here's
where I started doing research on the topic tonight, which is about cars and the invasion of privacy and the data they collect. And I stumbled on a website that I think everyone should check out. And it's going to be, as we go moving forward here, you know, a major thing. And it's from Mozilla, and it's from the Mozilla Foundation. And basically, it is this, if you go on right now and you do a search for privacy not included, sounds like a, you know, robot, you know, a movie or something of an alien.
Yeah.
But anyway, privacy not included, and you'll come up to foundation.mozilla.org/en/privacy-not-included. And it blew me away. You know, for years, Garth, you have known me to be all picky and, you know, trying to, you know, stack the odds. And then all of a sudden you realize just how bad it is, how so many devices make you connect to the internet. They're collecting data on your kids. They're collecting data on you. And the thing that really struck me is that they rate these different devices that they check out for privacy. You know, I mean, right now, if you get the Meta goggles or whatever, you know, the Ray-Ban, it to read all that EULA stuff that we never read, it's like a 5-hour read. Okay,
yeah,
this is not
like,
just a.
And this is actually how I came up with the topic for this show was the website that you just mentioned, the privacy not included. It was just an article of many articles and many ratings about the automobile industry, but they rate all sorts of stuff from chatbots to smart home devices to dating apps, you know, you name it.
I was shocked. And the key takeaway here is not a single auto manufacturer got a good rating. Not one.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how
so they looked at all 25 car brands they researched earned our privacy not included warning label, making the cars the officially the worst category of products for privacy that they have ever reviewed out of all the other categories of tech products?
You know, I mean, we have cell phones. Okay, if anyone thinks that you, if you think you're going to be private and you carry an active cell phone with you, it's collecting data. And it's collecting every place you go. It's collecting where you stop, how long you stop there. I mean, it's tons and tons of data. Now, the idea is, okay, and good, better, and different. You know, companies like Apple and Google, which Android, Google's product, probably collects 20 times more data than Apple as far as data points. But the point is, they collect that data, they aggregate it. So it strips off your name and says, we have a customer that's, you know, in this demographic,
yeah, in this
of age,
geographical demographic area, but it's,
yeah,
it's supposed,
yeah, and
to
then
be
they
at least
sell that.
Yeah.
Right. They sell that we, you know, so if you want to place an ad and you're looking to get to those 20-year-olds, here we go. We got this group of people we know are 20.
But for the automobile industry, there's a lot less protections. I mean, there's very limited protections anyway, but there's even less on the automobile data.
Well, and that's what's scary. It's gone beyond that. I mean, it's gotten to the point where the automobile industry is by far collecting information, and it doesn't tell the users. You know, at least with Google, there's some mechanism to go in and try to delete some of that data they collect on you, and it cycles out. But it was shocking. I mean, I really am blown away. Nissan, for example, not only is it collecting data from you in your car, but they're harvesting data from other sources. And they're looking at your sexual activity. They're looking at your eating habits. They're, I mean,
how,
it was,
yeah, how fast you drive, where you drive, what songs you play in your car, all the and it all depends on, I mean, as you get the fancier and fancier cars with more sensors, I think Tesla is probably the one of the worst in terms of how much data they collect. But they just gain more and more, and apparently 84% of the car manufacturers that they looked at sell the data they collect.
Yeah, you know, and here's what kills me. I mean, this is so classic. When I did my homework on this, you know, one of the first articles I found, I mean, this was back in February of 2017, that the red flags, yeah, are going up, you know, saying, hey, cars are collecting data, you know, and the manufacturers are going, well, it's just like a cell phone, you know, we got to collect that data, you know, it's just, we want to know our product's working. And it's, you know, so the red flags have been raised on this, you know, years ago, you know, and as time's going on, nothing is stopping it. Nothing is really putting it in check.
They predict that this, let me mention that this is Tech Mud right here on KMUD with Garth and Rick, and we'll be opening up the phone lines around 7:30. Right now we're talking about your freaking car and it's how it's spying on you. And it's going to be they predict it to be a $50 billion industry by 2030 for in terms of collecting and selling data from your car.
You know, what kind of scares me, and I didn't collect this on the stuff I emailed you, but the fact is California is looking at changing how it taxes you. They're going to keep, they raised gas taxes, and I think we finally hit the last rise out of this, you know, sequence of gas taxes that they implemented that goes up every year. And so they're still wanting to make more money, and they're going to start, the plan is, they're going forward with this, to collect how much you drive and where you drive, and then tax you based on the roads you use. So that,
yeah,
you know, if you go on this road that needs a lot of maintenance, well, then you're going to get taxed maybe more. And, you know, it, but the problem is, this is all that data we're talking about, where,
yeah,
it's tracking
more
where you're at, when you drove, where you're going, when you stopped, you know, and,
well,
it
seems like a lot of cars, even if you don't use, like, it used to be, you'd get the fancy car and would have like a navigation system built in. More often now, they've wised up because the phones evolve so much faster than the car system you have. They generally have you plug your phone in to your car's infotainment center. But when you plug that phone in, especially if you start syncing your data to it, like your text messages, can it read the phone calls? All that data gets sucked up into the car's system and is accessible by the car manufacturer.
Yeah, it is. You know, and my partner has rented cars before, and it's like, you know, she connects her phone to it because it makes it easier to have, you know, the hands.
Make sure you erase that. Yeah, make sure you erase that when you're done.
That's exactly the point. When you get to the end point, but it still doesn't mean that some data might not have been collected, and it may not be Hertz or whoever you rented the car from. It's the manufacturer of the car who has this built-in system of gathering data. I know that Tesla, for example, like you said, they have a lot of sensors. And there was someone that back in October of 2020 had hacked into their software. And Tesla had said, oh, no, we have the camera there, but we're not going to really turn it on. And it's only if we do use it, it's only to see if someone's, you know, trying to steal your car or thrashing it, you know, and then, you know, we can, you know, get involved in some way. But the guy went in and looked, and it's collecting in back then it was collecting, like, you know, if you're blind, if your eyes are dark, or I mean, if your eyes are shut, or if they're, if you're, you know, looking normal,
it monitors you, you better not, no hanky panky in the Tesla, man. It is monitoring the hell out of you there. There's cameras everywhere.
It's looking at your driving habits. And the thing that really scares me, and this is where, you know, we do need we need the government to get involved and write laws that protect people's privacy. And the thing is that there's already been proof. This was in March of 2024, where the automakers are sharing with the behavior with insurance companies.
Yeah. So
there's a whole story where this guy, like, he's a good driver. He's never been in an accident. You know, he had all these great traits. And then all of a sudden his insurance went up 21%. So then he contacted his insurance. They said, well, the company LexisNexis, which, by the way, has been around literally at the birth of the internet. They've been around forever. They collect data. It was one of the agency's tools. It's been around forever. Anyway, LexisNexis came up with a risk assessment. And even though he hadn't been in any accidents, it based it on how fast he went into a turn, how many times he had to jam on the brake for whatever. It doesn't know why. If the ball rolled out in the street, it's just that, oh, that guy is jamming his brake too often, you know, that kind of thing. And the insurance company raised his rate based on that assessment.
It's one thing that, like, this insurance companies offer. I even seen advertised. They offer, like, oh, run our app while you're driving, and we'll give you a discount if you're a good driver. But that at least it says some forms of transparency. I see there's a question from the KMUD studio here. Does your phone track your location if you have the location turned off? I'd say it does.
In fact, there was a study done by taking a Android phone and disabling all the data that had to do with data locations and tracking. And what the phone would do is it actually, and this was bizarre, it sent out more data when you had it off than when you had it on. And what it was sending, it wasn't sending the GPS data, but it was sending the cell phone ping data, you know, where you're located relative to cell phone towers.
Often with modern phones, you generally have to agree to it, but it's also looking at known, you pass by a Wi-Fi network, and if that network is known to whoever is looking, like, oh, hey, you just passed by the KMUD Studios network. We know where that is. Okay, log that. So,
yeah, that's exactly how it triangulates. You know, it uses, it's not just limited to Wi-Fi. It's not just limited to the cell phone towers.
Cell towers,
it's any kind of radio that it can coordinate.
You can shut off all your antennas, I suppose, but then of course the phone doesn't work.
It's about impossible. And you know what manufacturers did, which, you know, was an insult. We've talked about this before, is that they made it where you can't take out the battery, because in the old days, you know, you pop out the battery, it's not tracking you anymore. You know, and now you can't force your phone completely off. And so
I'm still waiting to see if it's true that Europe will force the cell phone industry into bringing back removable batteries. But we'll see.
I think they might. But it's still, you know, we're talking years. Now, you know, there's been a lot of about this automotive stuff. There's been a lot of grilling that's been going on. You know, I mean, California has been involved, even though I kind of question their reasoning. I mean, even though I know they have the privacy stuff, but I also feel like they want to tap into that data collection to use for ways to tax us. You know, and the government recently has pulled like 8 automakers, you know, about sharing data with the police about your car's habits.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's bad. I mean, you know, the thing that really shocked me when I, you know, did this homework was when I came across that website, Privacy Not Included, and then you realize just how prolific it's become. You know,
it's such a big industry. I mean, we had a whole show about just the data that's being gathered from the internet, but this is just specifically just this side of like the car industry. Is it seems like they're, you're right, the government needs to get involved and they need to pass some sort of protection. Because I did find a site that allows you to, and it's I think they have a service. They are trying to sell something, like they have an app, but it's privacy. And then the number 4 and then cars.com, privacyforcars.com. They have an interesting thing where you can type in your VIN number of whatever vehicle you want to know, like their privacy, you know, policies, and if you can opt out of stuff. And what I like is it gives you how long it would take to read all their privacy policies, and then it rates them. And generally it's like, oh, this Toyota, like my Toyota Prius, for instance, it would take you 47 hours to read all their privacy policies.
Yeah, it is crazy. You know, when I read, you know, 5 hours, and let's face it, who reads that stuff? Because first you got to have a brain of a lawyer, you know. So
maybe the AI will help us with that one day. But yeah, privacyforcars.com, if you go there, I'm testing it out. They have a thing where you can, and it's free, you can with your VIN number, your vehicle, you can submit that and then give them your email address. And I think maybe a mailing address as well, phone number to contact. I did read their privacy policy of this privacy site. They seem to be fairly legit. It's a very simple privacy policy. It didn't take more than 3 minutes to read. Anyway, they submit all this stuff to Toyota on my behalf and say, hey, remove this, like they try to limit their sharing ability, basically. Like, don't sell my data, don't do this. And in California, you do have a few more rights about your data in terms of it being sold.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
But you are listening to Tech Mud right here on KMUD. It's and it is just past the half hour, 7:32, on this Wednesday evening. We can probably open up the phones for calls. The number here is 707-923-3911. It looks like we did have a caller who called in but did not want to go on the air, asking how to dispose of a phone that it can't, so that it can't be retrieved or data taken off. Let's see. Well, first you'd want to remove any cards. If you have a card, like a SIM card, that's just basically your phone number on there, though. Or some phones even have those little memory cards, your photos and stuff. You can take those out. You can wipe the phone using the factory wipe settings on both Apple and Android. If you really want to not have your data retrieved, though, you would probably want to hit it with a hammer until it falls into little pieces and try not to breathe any of the toxic dust that comes up.
Well, that is unfortunately the reality of it is. And then you got to be really careful because it does have a battery. So the reason a lot of batteries catch fire is
don't punch the battery.
They got a little bit of damage, you know, and the case gets squashed. And then all of a sudden it causes this thermal buildup to happen. And then it can you know, cause fire. So
this is true. This is true. So be careful when smashing your phone.
Yeah. So really, you know, you have to, if you're going to do it right, okay, you don't just smash your phone, but you become sort of violent and take it apart, get to the battery, cut out the
wire.
You could
use it as a learning experiment.
Destroy it.
You could take it all apart. Usually that involves heating it up with a heat gun and ungluing it and stuff. So you could get all crafty with it and kind of look to see if you can take it all apart and see how it works.
But at this point, you're not going to be putting it back together. So you don't need the heat gun. You're just prying the glass off. And so most people, you realize that the way they put the phone together is that it's like a metal case usually. All the electronics fit in there, and then they close the lid by putting the glass on and the screen. So the way you get into it is by the glass. If you've got one of those ones, you can't take out the battery. That is how you get in. And like Garf said, if you're going to do it right, you want to replace the battery or something, then, you know, you're going to be real gentle. You're going to peel back the glass. You're going to use a heat gun. You're going to make sure you kind of do it in a dust-free environment. But since you're destroying it.
From it is, though, factory wiping it usually, since it's not a, usually that would destroy the data pretty quickly. It is just flash memory. It would be pretty hard for people to get to get your data off of it if you just had factory wiped it. Impossible,
you know,
I'm sure.
For the most part, I think that's probably the safest way. Is that you look up how to do a factory reset. Most
Looks
all
like
phones
we have a caller.
Have a way of doing it. Hello, caller.
Hey, caller. You're on the air.
Okay, cool. Hey, well, ultimately, my question is about, let's say you smash, like, my phone fell out of my pocket and glass smashed, and what have I got left on this thing? But I really, before I let you go with that, and I can listen off the air, appreciate your talk on the fact that, you know, we're so public. Everywhere we go, that phone has tracked so many people on their way to end court, right? And the other thought, the scary thought that I have is, let's say you've got local data being collected, but it's being interpreted by people from the cities. And they look at us, funky old Garberville people, and they're just like, my God, they don't cut their hair, they're not tucking in their shirts, they're walking around like a bunch of slobs. What's going on in Garberville? You know what I'm saying?
I think we might have lost.
You said something about your phone, though, caller. What was that about? You dropped it or something? And that's
just a smash glass thing. How long have I got? If I've got a spider web now on the face of this thing,
you're
getting like overheated batteries and stuff and whatnot. But
as long as you can still use it and you don't mind it, I've known people to use their phones for years with a cracked screen.
You know what you do. Caller, you go out, you got a cracked screen, you go out and get one of those Gorilla Glass, the little add-on screens you put on top of it. And by George, I've done that with a phone that, you know, it's broken, but as long as the touchscreen's still working, you know, and in order to make it a smooth feel, you know, you buy one of those little, I don't know what you call them, Garth. They're just like one of
it's
those.
Kind of like it's kind of like a glass.
A glass protector.
Yeah, and it, some of them are actually made out of glass. Like, if you hit it, it will crack, too. It's interesting technology. But, yeah, just a screen cover so that you don't...
Yeah, put a screen cover on it. You can't see the cracks when it's lit.
Yeah, okay, cool. Glad to hear that. Hey, thanks for the show.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, caller. You're listening to Tech Mud right here on KMUD. 923-3911 is the phone number. Yeah, talking about cars and the manufacturers that are selling our data, and it's going to be a $50 billion industry by 2030. Looking at the score sheet from this Mozilla Foundation, I mean, they all are terrible. It's like, what is the best one? It's like...
Well, the best was actually... who is it? It's Renault.
Renault.
The least... They still didn't get a grade A, but they're like F-, you know, or whatever it is. They're still collecting data. They're not the people involved, you know what I mean? You're not really in control of your data. But at the same time, in contrast to Nissan, they are, that's the worst, that's the least evil.
Nissan had
and
the worst
evil.
Yeah, Nissan had the worst privacy policy, I believe. Was that it? That was,
well, yeah, it's how they collect data, and Nissan goes an extra step. They're not just, they're aggregating data of the user to other information. I mean, they're finding out your sexual activity. It's not because you have sex in your car. It's because they're aggregating data. They didn't go into detail where they get the extra data from, but they want to know about their
collect
users.
They collect your quote unquote generic information or genetic characteristics. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, that's, you know, a car manufacturer does not need to know that much about its users. I mean, I'm sorry, maybe that might tickle some scientist or some engineer, but I think that's going way beyond what they should be doing.
And when you're dealing with some cars, they need this data. But like, for instance, if you ask Tesla, hey, I don't want to be connected to your company anymore. I don't want you being able to connect to my car. They'll say, well, if we can do that, but if you no longer wish us to collect your vehicle data, we can turn that feature off, but your car may not function. This may result in your vehicle suffering from reduced functionality and serious damage might occur. Incidentally, Tesla is, I was watching a documentary about supercomputers and the people that are building them. Elon Musk is pumping hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars into the Tesla factory that's in Texas to a new supercomputer complex because they're planning to use that to help the self-driving. They're going to use basically their own supercomputer to help the car's computers self-drive. There's also a plan in motion to use the Tesla computers that are fairly powerful in each car. When they're not being used for your driving habits, the company would like to use them for their purposes. So it's like a multi, you know, all those processors driving around that they could use.
Yeah, it you know, when they tie all the computers together, they can do a lot of stuff. I think Tesla has even bigger plans. Even though I'm now no longer, I mean, Tesla was my hero, or Elon Musk was my hero. He no longer is in my hero list. You know, even though he's done some great things.
He has some interesting. He has created a lot of stuff.
Tesla, one of the plans that they're doing is they're taking and aggregating the car data and any other data they get for their future androids and robots. And they're actually seeing that to be more profitable than cars in the future. And honestly, I think it will be. You know, I've seen some, in the last 6 months, I've seen some robot stuff on YouTube, and they're real. I mean, it's no longer some science fiction thing. These are working robots that, you know, if you slap the human face on it, you'd be freaked out. You know what I mean? Because
it's interesting.
It's getting
looks like
real.
We do have, looks like we have a caller on hold. There was another quick tech question. If an iPod was charged with the wrong cord and destroyed that part of the device, can it be fixed? Probably, depending on. Might not be worth it. Depends on the cost of, you know, I don't know what an iPod costs these days. But
well, you can't really get them, right? iPods are like, they've kind of discontinued them, so...
Yeah.
You know, to repair it. You know, caller, you might be able to fix the connector. There's a couple of, you know, a lot of times, you know, you can try, if you can try a brand new cable, then it might charge. And I highly recommend, I use it on my stuff. I've gone on eBay, you can get them on Amazon and Tuhu or whatever that cheap website is. But they're magnetic cables. And so you plug in a little part in your phone or your device, and then it connects with a magnet. And the beauty of it is that if you have a bad connector, and you get it to work, you can permanently glue it on, you know, with some hot glue or rubber cement. And then
to the magnet part. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And then that way you still disconnect from it through the magnet. You know what I mean? So it's not like you're umbilical cording it.
Looks like we've got a call waiting. Yeah. Hey, caller. How's it going? You're on the air.
It's good. It's going real good. I wanted to first thank you for your advice on my buggy keyboard on the laptop where the letters were double hitting when I press it once and kind of shifting from one letter key to the other. I just plugged in the USB, a separate USB keyboard and is working fine. So appreciate that.
Nice. Glad to hear it.
I have a comment just regarding the, the driving, sucking up, you know, the auto industry sucking up, people's, driving, or all kinds of information. I always thought that the, fastest way to, basically characterize a person is to put them in a car and see how they drive. If you're like, you want to like, figure out a person's personality and a lot about them. I think the way they drive is a really fast way to figure that out.
I think you're right. If you're doing an analysis to see who could live on the space station and who you want to weed out quick, because
the hotheads are easy to find. I did have a question. I saw the Elon Musk, Optimus 2 robots, maybe. Yeah. Talking about how they have 21 or more modes of action in the hands, or maybe that's the entire thing. But basically, it is approaching human, and they can play piano. And he was talking about, basically producing them for $10,000 and selling them for $20,000 and releasing them in like 2026, or maybe he said 2030, but it's here. And so.
Yeah, it is. There's some Chinese companies that are really going strong.
Yeah, and my friend was mentioning, he said, so I said, well, it just seems like a matter of time till they got the robots making the robots and they don't need us anymore. And he said, oh, they can't do that. They'll never be able to do that. And I was like, I don't think so. I think so. I mean, basically, they got some, I don't know what brand of car it is, but a retired professor was telling me that, they have some automobile that I think it's a new brand that they're manufacturing completely without ever having a human hand touch it. And so it just seems to me like with the advent of using them for the military and police and so forth, it's kind of scary to think we got these, human killer robots, potentially. I'm not saying that it's all bad, but it is kind of very reminiscent of the Terminator and how fast they're pushing the data collection and control on us all is just mind-blowing. So I'll just leave it there. Thanks. I love listening to you guys. Thanks for the show.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in.
Cool. All right, bye-bye.
923-3911 is the phone number here at the MUD.
Just to expand a little bit on what he was saying, the idea that it will happen. We will end up fighting wars where we have these non-human. We're already doing it with drones. And it will. And China has developed some downright scary devices where the drone flies in, drops the little doggy with the machine gun on it. And, it's downright scary. And I predict we're going to see a lot of kind of crazy warfare.
You can already see it in action. In the Mediterranean where we, recently have had an aircraft carrier based in a bunch of our Navy. The Houthi rebels there are using all sorts of drones and small smart missiles You know, and it's our carriers and battle groups can shoot them down, but it's a totally different style of warfare, and it's not something. It's where we're using, I think it's like $300 million missiles to shoot down these little, you know, $10,000 drones, basically.
Right. Well, I think we're going to see something. Just one thing that I could see happening, which will be, you know, like you have, okay, migrants, or you have people that work the fields, you know, doing hard labor in the sun. And I could see a day coming where, you know, you replace them with robots. And the beauty of it is, when the robot's battery gets low, he stops what he's doing. He goes back to the charger, and another robot picks up right where he left off, because they're talking to each other. But there is something that's also scary about this. You know, that there was a recent study that was done about how the trucking industry and data logistics, and they're doing all this weird, you know, kind of stuff where the vehicles are all working with each other. And they predicted that, you know, we could see a virus spread throughout the vehicles. And
yeah, that could be quite a disruption.
It could be quite a disruption. And it's scary, because the more and more, the one thing that we seem to be good at is we make technology, but we never foolproof it. So then it's going to get hacked eventually. You know what I mean? And it's frightening to see how that could be used in a nefarious way, or even if it's just not acting predictable anymore. That is, you know, for me, that is kind of scary. And iRobot sort of portrays that concept. You know, if you ever saw the movie with Will Smith, you know, just this idea where all of a sudden the robots get this download, and they made it real obvious. You know, the angry robots had a red color to them. You knew that they were changed.
Well, I mean, your average fulfillment warehouse has all sorts of robots moving around. And I mean, that's how Amazon can get you your packages so quickly these days. And not just Amazon, that's the whole industry has had to kind of evolve towards that.
So anyway, we're going to see a lot of stuff happen in tech. But I really do believe this is one of those moments where the government should step in. And, you know, there has been something kind of good. General Motors was collecting a lot of data. Okay. And again, they were like one of the ones doing it secretly. And they have OnStar and stuff. And even if you didn't have OnStar on, they still might be using the OnStar to collect the data. And they recently stopped selling data to some of their brokers. Right. So they're not selling
some of. But there's a difference between we share with our partners, our industry partners, or we sell it to the even more evil data brokers and make even more money on your stuff. Well, incidentally, go ahead.
Well, then we have the problem with the fact that you're collecting the data in the first place. And okay, yeah, you're saying you're being a good citizen, but what happens when you have the data breach? You know, what happens when AT&T, you know, just like AT&T, and all these other companies, someone, you know, collects that data and then uses it elsewhere. And this is one of the hard things. When I was watching looking through Privacy Not Included, which I highly recommend everyone go check it out.
Privacy Not Included by the Mozilla Foundation.
It just really opens you up, because you may have one of these or multiple of these devices that is nefarious. But anyway, a lot of them are, you know, it is the Echo. It is other things. You know, it's kind of frightening. But anyway, the point I'm making is, when I go look at these companies that are doing this, it's a ton of data that's being collected on everyone. And so it's not necessarily one company that has all your data, you know, that has everything. But when you start tacking all of them, I mean, we've had so many breaches over the years. And you know, no one's really making the companies who collect the data and manage the data accountable.
Yeah, even if they're not selling your data and they're collecting it, and it's liable to be out there in the world one day because they are lax about guarding your data. And there's usually very little consequences, like this AT&T breach. I don't think there's going to be any consequences to AT&T for releasing all that data. More often than not, What do you get out of it? You might, you know, maybe there's some big lawsuit and you get a few bucks, or
you get like $10, or you get 2 years worth of
Yeah, of credit monitoring. I just want to mention, I was reading through the Mozilla Foundation's article here in Subaru's privacy policy. You know, we got a lot of Subarus driving around out there in the hills. They have a fun one that says that even the passenger of a car that uses connected services in that the driver has consented to has automatically consented to their data being perhaps taken and sold.
That's ridiculous. But it's not just limited to cars. You know, every device we get now that connects to the internet, you're doing it. In fact, one of the ones, I mean, I know the cars, I didn't realize how bad they've gotten on newer cars. But, you know, like the Roku stick, it's in the list of one of the violators that, you know, it's just crazy. You know, and there also is another side, and this might be a good thing or a bad thing. But in the EU, they're making it mandatory that cars now have a form of speed control or a speed limiter, so that technically you cannot make your car go over the speed limit, or it can only go over a
certain
amount.
That'll be real popular. That's going to go over real well in America.
Well, they've already passed the law. It is. Yeah. And so now manufacturers got to decide what mechanism they're going to use. And they've given them four options, whether it's GPS or whether it's reading road signs or whatever. But the cars are going to be mandated to have some sort of speed limiting. And I question how that's going to work. You know, I mean, you're driving down the road, and I've had it happen where I need to speed up to get around something that's dangerous. And it doesn't happen very often, but it has happened. So does that mean all of a sudden you're going to try to pass someone?
That's kind of scary. It looks like we had a caller who talked to our engineer and wanted to remind us of the movie Maximum Overdrive. That was the I remember that. That's a Stephen King movie where the car is all
becomes crazy smart and starts killing or whatever. Yeah,
killing everybody. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, there's been few of them. I mean, what was that one that was like an old car? It had like a female name. But anyway, it did the same kind of concept, you know? It's like all of a sudden the car got...
Well, there was one of the self-driving companies that actually just has now imploded. It was the same name as the trimming scissors company, a Fisker. The Fisker self-driving car... That was the one that was involved in, like, it ran somebody over in the Bay Area and then dragged them for a while.
Whatever, bad news. Well, I saw some movie, too, that was kind of a tongue-in-cheek sci-fi, and it had to do with the guy pissing off the taxi car, whatever it was, by calling it names and being mean to it and kicking its tires, and then the car wouldn't cooperate with him. It wouldn't let him, you know, later he needed to get away or get in the car and it would like back up and lock the doors. And,
you gotta be polite to your,
you gotta be
AI,
polite because these things are going to have feelings eventually.
Exactly. Yeah. No. I don't know. That's it. So there it is. If that's cars are collecting massive amounts of data, be aware of it basically. Check out the Mozilla Foundation's articles, and also check out that site privacyforcars.com, which is kind of interesting. It's a company trying to help you out, and they look like they're marketing themselves to dealerships who actually want to be more privacy aware, but we'll see how many people are into that.
I think we're going to get into an era, and it's going to get dystopian, where it's not just the car collecting the data or your phone or your watch or whatever other device you got that's internet, but it's going to be the cameras that are on the street corners at the stop signs aggregating data. And they're going to, you know, I mean, you know, license plate readers are now common, you know, and, you know, last year, you know, there's been... You know, like in San Jose, they caught 3 stolen cars through the license plate readers. And
we got a stolen trailer right down there and outside of Leggett somewhere just a little while ago.
So yeah, but that's the point. We're gonna, you know, people need to become aware, and I don't know what to tell you other than, you know, you're either gonna have to give in to the data collection, or you're gonna have to make a statement and not buy from that company. I mean, research it before you buy.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely true. Let's see. I think we are up against the top of the hour. This has been Tech Mud right here on KMUD. I'm Garth.
And I'm Rick.
And we will be back next month in the third week, the third Wednesday of the month in August, which I believe is the 21st. So thanks to our engineer, and thanks to the callers. Have a great evening.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
I felt so out all through the night. Data streams and neon light. Tech mud pulls us into sight. Paranoia takes its flight. Government eyes, they see it all. Every click, each rise and fall. Selling us for data's call in this digital sprawl. Flip my thick butt, but oh so clear. Where we roam, yet show no fear. Corporate hands, they steer the gear. In this tech mud, we disappear. Privacy in a fragile space. In the cloud we lose our grace. Tech mud leaves a vivid place. Questions answered, voices loud. In the heart of K-Mud's crowd. Public waves where truth survives. Corporate thieves can't take our lives. Cookies crumble, shadows cast. Every move a deal that's fast. Selling secrets, trades unmasked. In this tech mud, it won't last. Disappear. Every click, a trail to trace. Privacy in a fragile space. Corporate hands, they steer the gear. In this tech mud, we disappear. Trace privacy in a fragile space. In the cloud we lose all grace. Tech mud leaves a vivid place. Questions answered, voices loud. In the heart of K-Mud's crowd. Public waves where truth survives. Corporate thieves can't take our lives.
This has been a KMUD podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast, and also on our website, kmud.org.